Osho, Tao, The Three Treasures, Volume 4. Talks on fragments from Lao Tzu's Tao Te Ching. Given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number 8.
The first question. You tell us again and again not to desire enlightenment, and yet you also remind us again and again how impoverished and what rubbish our lives are, and tell us how blissful and rich enlightenment is. How can one avoid preferring bliss to rubbish? Preference is the greatest problem. If you prefer, you miss. If you prefer bliss to rubbish, your concept of bliss is already rubbish. If you don't prefer, if you remain alert and non-preferring in a deep, choiceless awareness, even rubbish itself becomes blissful. Rubbish and bliss are not two things. If you prefer, everything is rubbish. If you don't prefer, everything becomes blissful. This world and nirvana are not two things. This world exists because of your choice. If choice disappears, the world disappears. Suddenly there is enlightenment and nothing else. It is just in front of your eyes. Prefer and you will miss it, because preference means the mind has entered. Choice is mind. When you say, I choose this and I don't choose this, you have already divided the world into two. The duality has entered. Now the non-dual is last. The one is last. The unity is no more there. If you don't choose, the duality disappears, because it is because of your choice. You support it by your choice, that's why it exists. If you don't support it by your choice, it has disappeared. Already there is nothing to choose and no one to choose. Enlightenment is not something that you have to choose. When there is no choice, that which remains is enlightenment. I understand your difficulty, because the choice comes again and again. You may even choose not to choose. If I insist that choicelessness is the door, you may start choosing it. But then you missed. You could not understand me. Nothing is to be done. Just a tacit understanding is needed. Just by listening to me, if you understand it, it has already happened. There is nothing else to do. Don't ask how. Just try to understand what I am saying. Don't bring the desire in. Let the understanding be clear. When you say this is wrong, you have denied a part of existence as wrong. Now you can never be the whole. And enlightenment belongs to the whole. It is a flowering of the whole. A part cannot be enlightened, only the whole. If you say this is good and that is bad, and this I choose and that I reject, who is doing these rejections, choices? The I, the ego, is dividing existence like a sword, cutting it in two. If you understand it, you don't divide. In a non-divided existence, nothing is lacking. You suddenly start dancing. It has happened. You tell us again and again not to desire enlightenment, yes? Because desire is the bondage. These so-called religions have been teaching people to desire enlightenment. They have created much confusion. I'm doing nothing, just clearing the whole confusion that has been put into your mind. They said, don't desire the world, don't desire the worldly objects, don't desire money, don't desire power, prestige, desire God, desire enlightenment, desire heaven, desire virtue. But when you desire virtue, when you desire God, nothing has changed in you. Only the object of desire has changed. Desiring has remained the same. First you were desiring money, now you desire God. The object has changed. Now you have an otherworldly object. But have you gone through any transformation? You still desire. The nature of desire is the same. It doesn't depend on the object. God or money makes no difference. You desire. That is the thing. Because in desire, you have moved into the future. In desire, you have already missed the present moment. Desire means you are not here now. Now the mind has gone somewhere else. And how can you enjoy that which is happening now when the mind is somewhere else? How can you delight in that which is already showering on you when the mind is not here? Life goes on showering. God goes on surrounding you, but your mind is somewhere else, in the future, in some result, in desire. That's how you miss. Desire allows you a space to move into nowhere, and you are always here. Your concrete existence is always in the present. But the desire helps to create other worlds which are not. Look, a man desiring money, he has 10,000 rupees. He cannot enjoy them because he is desiring 10 lakhs of rupees. He is miserable. Those 10,000s don't make him rich. He is miserable. Those 10 lakhs that he is desiring make him poor. He will enjoy only when 10 lakhs are there. But do you think he will enjoy? When 10 lakhs are there, the mind must have moved again. Because the mind have moved learned the trick how to move from 10,000 to 10 lakhs, from 10 lakhs to 10 crore. The proportion, the distance will remain the same. By the time he attains 10 lakhs, the mind is already desiring 10 crores. He cannot enjoy 10 lakhs. He is not rich because of them. He is poor because of 10 crores. You start meditating. You cannot enjoy that which is happening to you. Your mind thinks of enlightenment. And I tell you, even if it was possible for enlightenment to happen, which is not possible, you would not be able to enjoy it. Your mind must have moved to some other great enlightenment. That is the nature of desire, to go on moving. If God was there just standing in front of you, you would have already moved to some other great God. This God won't do. Not enough. Not fulfilling. One has to understand how the mind functions. That's all. A tacit understanding of the functioning of the mind, and suddenly you start laughing. The whole trick is understood. Then, it is not a question of changing objects. It is simply dropping the desire. And when I say dropping the desire, please don't misunderstand me. I don't mean that you drop it. When the tacit understanding is there, it drops. Suddenly you see the point that life is here and desire is there. You see the point and desire disappears. It is just a line of a smoke around you. Nothing substantial. You need not even push it. You understand? It has disappeared. Not that you drop desire, because I know, how can you drop it? You can drop it only if some other desire is substituted. If I say, drop the desire of money, because then you can attain to God, you can drop it. Because I am giving you another object to desire, you can drop the old. With the old, you yourself had become already frustrated and fed up. Now this new object will help the desire for a few days. Then you can drop it again. Objects can be dropped if desire is allowed. Mind is not worried about objects. When you drop the desire, then mind disappears. Mind is desiring. Mind is not an entity. Mind is not something there. Mind is just a process of desiring. You desire, mind is there. You don't desire, mind is not there. And when mind is not, enlightenment is. So I'm not saying that do something for it. No. I'm saying simply have a look. A relaxed look at it. And that will do. But listening to me, you start being greedy. You start feeling how beautiful to be enlightened. How beautiful to know the truth. How beautiful to realize God. You start feeling greedy. Watch the greediness. Otherwise, God will become an object. And all objects belong to the world. There is no otherworldly object. All objects belong to the market. There is no other objects which are not commodities in the market. Because whatsoever helps your desire, helps you to be in this rubbish, to be in this nightmare. So don't try to do something. I'm not saying drop desiring. I'm saying simply understand the process of desire. The moment you have understood, you will see it has dropped. And yet you also remind us again and again how impoverished and what rubbish our lives are. I have to remind you, because that is how it is. Your lives are rubbish. And there is a way of being which is tremendously blissful. I have to remind you again and again that the way you are living is not a way of life, it is a way of dying. You are simply killing yourself. And I have to remind you, there is a way where nothing else than absolute bliss exists. But I am not saying to create a preference. I am not saying to create a choice. I am not saying leave this and choose that. Drop this and try to achieve that. No, I am not saying. I am simply saying that the achieving mind creates rubbish. And the non-achieving mind is blissful. So if you start making efforts to attain to that blissful state, you will show that you have not understood me. This has always happened. Buddha, Jesus, Lao Tzu never understood. People never understood them. They were deeply misunderstood. Whatsoever they said was taken in a totally different way. They were saying something else, absolutely different. From a different dimension they were talking. And then people create following. People create organizations. People create methods. And people go on doing thousand and one things and missing the whole point. And the point is very simple. Not knowledge, not much intelligence is needed. Just a purity, an innocent look. So watch me. And what I am saying, listen to it as you listen to music. Music does not mean much. In fact, it doesn't mean at all. Just sounds. But music gives you something of the unknown. Listen to me as if you are listening to a music, to a different dimension. Don't try to interpret me. Don't translate me in your mind. Just listen. Try to be more alert, not to be more intelligent. Try to be more conscious, so you don't miss anything. And someday, and that day is unpredictable, nobody can say when, you will be tuned in. And suddenly, the night disappears. It has never been there. It was just illusory. When Buddha attained, he was asked, what have you attained? He said, nothing. I have not attained anything. I have come to understand only that that which I was seeking had always been within me. The seeker was the sought. I have not attained to anything. I have only recognized. I have only come to an awareness, to an awakening. I have looked into myself and nothing was lacking. Everything has been perfect from the very beginning. In this existence, nothing is imperfect. The imperfection is not possible because the whole is so perfect, incomparably perfect. Only perfect can come out of the perfect. How imperfection is possible? Must be you are deluded. Somewhere you have created the notion of imperfection, otherwise nobody is imperfect. You are Buddhas. You may be knowing, not knowing. That is for you to choose, to know or not to know. But your reality is the reality of a Buddha. Gods anonymous, not knowing, not acquainted with themselves, but all gods, fast asleep maybe, but still a god is a god, asleep or awake. So when I tell you, and I have to tell and insist again and again, that there is a way of being where every moment is infinite bliss, where every moment is ecstatic, and you are living in rubbish. But please don't create a desire, because desire creates rubbish. Understand the thing and let desire slip out of your hands. Suddenly, and it is always sudden, without any gradual process, one is awake. The morning has come. You are back home. You ask how one can avoid preferring bliss to rubbish. You have to avoid, otherwise you will create rubbish. Difficult, I know. I understand your difficulty, because the same has been my difficulty one day. But as I understand your difficulty, please try to understand what I am saying. The same difficulty has been my difficulty. And I know how impossible it is not to create a desire for God. How impossible it is. When you understand something is beautiful, blissful, and not to long for it. But by and by, you will come to feel the knack of it. Because whenever you will desire it, you will miss it. Then you will have to understand that by desiring you miss. This comes only by experience. Many times you will fall, but don't be discouraged. Get up again and be going. Many times you will fall and you will start desiring. It is so subtle that even you may be thinking you have not chosen, you have not preferred, and you have preferred. But the more alert you will be, one day or other, it has to happen. It has happened to me. And I was in the same plight. And the same was the difficulty for me. How not to desire that which is blissful. How simply not to desire and remain desireless. Not preferring anything to anything else. Just being, without any preference. I know it is almost impossible, but it happens. Impossibles happen. They are the real miracles. It has happened. And so I know it is going to happen to you. Just persist. Don't get discouraged by mistakes and errors. Get up again. Have another try. It is a groping in the dark, but the door is there. So if you go on groping enough, you will stumble upon the door. That's why religion can never become a science. Never. It will always remain a groping. At the most, it can be an art. And that to be so subtle that it cannot be taught. So I insist to you that go on groping. One day, it happens. How it happens, why it happens, remains a mystery. In fact, nobody has been ever able to exactly say how it happens. If somebody can say how it happens, a science can be created. Then you know the technique. Then you can do a certain act and it happens. It has happened millions of times. But there is no causality in it. So you cannot determine how it happens. It cannot be caused. Each time it happens uniquely. Each time it happens in such a new way that it has never happened before like that. And it will not happen again like that. Because each individual is so different, so unique, so individual, that the happening is going to be different. From my continuous reminding you, don't start longing for it. Allow it to happen. Don't desire it. In desire, you become active, aggressive. In allowing, you simply wait. In deep receptivity. Waiting for the guest. Standing on your door. Nothing can be done. When the guest will come, he will come. You are ready to receive, that's all. Not desiring creates receptivity. Desiring makes you aggressive. Desire makes you active. Non-desiring makes you inactive. That's what Lao Tzu says by Wei Wei. Action by inaction. Doing things by not doing them. Don't desire and it happens. Desires and you have missed. Don't prefer and it is there. Seek and you go infinitely seeking. And you never attain to it. Deep receptivity. This is the mechanism of desire. If you desire, your whole energy becomes active, aggressive. It moves. It becomes male. If you don't desire, the same energy becomes receptivity. It does not move out. It does not go anywhere. It simply waits, awaits deeply. It becomes feminine. Hence the insistence of Lao Tzu on feminine energy. The world is the manifestation of male energy. And enlightenment, the other world, the other soul, is the manifestation of feminine energy. Wait like a beloved. And any moment it can happen, you will be surprised. Whenever it happens, everybody to whom it happens is surprised. Surprised by the fact, because he was not doing anything and it has happened. Taken aback. cannot believe. Unbelievably true. Absurd. Because when he was doing everything, it never happened. It didn't happen. And now he was not doing anything. And suddenly it is there. In non-doing, your energy is in a deep rest. It becomes pure, tranquil. God has always been in front of you, just in front of your eyes. But your eyes are wavering with desire. Let the desire go. Eyes no more waver. You are tranquil, calm, quiet. Suddenly it is there, revealed. The second question, it is reported that Saint Francisco, it is reported that Saint Francis of Assisi could talk with birds and they would listen. Is this prayer? I would love to hear you talk a bit more about prayer. I told you about four planes: sex, love, prayer, meditation. Sex is a meeting of two bodies. The most superficial meeting. Love is the meeting of minds, deeper than sex, but yet not very deep. Prayer is the meeting of beings, but still, two remain two. Very deep meeting, depth. Meeting to the depth. But still two remain two. Meditation is the ultimate meeting. The two disappear. Only one remains. Saint Francis talking to the words is in prayer. Heart to heart. The words cannot understand the mind. Mind is human. Heart they have. If you can talk with the heart, they can understand. The understanding will be of the heart, remember, not of the mind. If you are trying with the mind, there will be no communication with the birds, with animals. No communication. Because they don't have the human mind. Mind is a human phenomena, but they have a deep heart, a feeling phenomena. If you feel for them, you can talk. You can talk to the trees and they will listen. You can talk to the rocks and they will listen. And if you are really a heart-oriented man, they will answer, because then you can also listen. If you go and you talk to the trees, and you don't know whether they are listening or not, that shows that you have been talking from the head. You will look foolish to yourself talking to them. You will watch if somebody is listening or not. If somebody passes by, you will stop. You know that this is foolish. How birds can understand? How trees can understand? But if you are talking from the heart, they not only understand the answer. Heart has a different way of communication. It is the energy communication. It is said about many saints in the world. Saint Francis of Assisi is the most famous. But now it has become a scientific truth also. Now many researchers all over the world are working, and many facts have come up. Now they say that plants have very deep sensitivity, deeper than humanity, because human sensitivity is disturbed by the mind, intellect. Man has completely forgotten how to feel. Even when he says, "I feel," in fact he thinks that he feels. People come to me and they say, "We are in love." And if I insist, "Really, are you in love?" they shrug their shoulders and they say, "Well, we think we are in love." Now, feeling is not direct. It comes through the head. And when it comes through the head, it is confused. It is not bubbling from the heart. But now scientific researchers have come to know that not only birds but plants, and not only plants, even metals have a sensitivity, and they feel, and they feel tremendously, and they give messages which you may not be able to catch. But now scientists have created instruments which can detect the messages given by them. If they are in fear, they start trembling. You may not be able to see the trembling. It is very subtle. No wind is blowing. But the detectors, the mechanical detectors, show that the plant is very much trembling inside. When they are happy, they are ecstatic. The mechanism shows that they are ecstatic. When they are painful, afraid, filled with anger, rage, all sorts of feelings now can be detected. Something very deep has happened to man. A wound, an accident, he has lost the touch of feelings. If you talk to trees, to birds, to animals long enough, and you don't feel foolish, because the mind will say and interfere that this is foolish. If you don't listen to the mind, and by you bypass it, and you can connect directly, a tremendous energy of feeling will be released in you. You will become totally a new sort of being. You had never known these ways are possible to be. You will become sensitive. Sensitive to pain and pleasure. That's how humanity has stopped the functioning of feeling. Because when you become sensitive to pleasure, you also become sensitive to pain. The more you can feel happy, the more you can feel unhappy also. That fear that one can become very much unhappy has closed, has helped human mind to create barriers so that you cannot feel. When you cannot feel, both ways are closed. You cannot become happy, you cannot become unhappy. But try. It is a prayer. Because it is heart to heart. First try with human beings. Just with your own child. Sit silently with the child. Allow feeling. Don't bring the mind in. Sit with your wife or with your friend or your husband, holding hands together in a dark room, not doing anything, just trying to feel each other. In the beginning will be difficult, but by and by you will have a different mechanism functioning within you. You will start feeling. Almost one third of persons, that is 33% persons, can revive their heart very easily. It is not very dead in them. For the remaining other it may be difficult. There are one third people who are body oriented, one third who are heart oriented, one third who are head oriented. Those who are heart oriented, 33%, they can revive prayer very easily. Those who are head oriented, it will be most difficult for them to have any feeling. For them, prayer does not exist. Buddha himself or Mahavir are head oriented people. That's why prayer was not a part of their religions. They have not thought about prayers. They were very intelligent people, well trained intellectually, logically. They developed the meditation, but they have not talked about prayer. Nothing like prayer exists in Jainism, cannot exist. It exists in Islam. Muhammad is a heart-oriented person, has a different quality. It exists in Christianity. Jesus is a heart-oriented person. It exists in Hinduism, but not in Buddhism or Jainism. Nothing like prayer. And the one third of people are body oriented. They are the potential charvakas. For them, no prayer, no meditation, only indulgence. Only indulgence in the body. That is their only way of being happy. The only way of being. So, if you are a heart-oriented person, if you feel more than you think, if music gives you deep stirring, if poetry touches you, if beauty surrounds you and you can feel, then prayer is for you. You have to go through prayer. Then start talking to birds and trees and the sky. It will be helpful. But don't make it a mind talk. Let it be heart to heart. Be related. That's why people of the heart think about God as Father or as Beloved. Some relation. The head-oriented people are always laughing. What nonsense you are talking. God the Father? Then where is the Mother? They always make a joke out of it, because they cannot understand. For them, God is truth. For the people of the heart, God is love. And for the people of the body, the world is God. Their money, their house, their car, their power, their prestige. A man who is body oriented, needs a different type of religion. In fact, only just now in the West, particularly in America, a new sort of work has started, which is for the body-oriented man. That work is towards body sensitivity. Many sensitivity training groups are working. A new sort of religion is being born for the first time. In the past, there have been two types of religion, meditation-oriented, Buddha and Mahavira, prayer-oriented, Muhammad, Jesus, Krishna and Ram, but there has never been a body-oriented religion. There have been body-oriented people, but they have always said that there is no religion, because they denied prayer, they denied meditation. These are the Epicureans, Charvakas, the atheists who say there is no God, only this body and this life is all. But they never created a religion. For the first time in America now, a new approach towards entering into the innermost core of life is gaining hold, and that is body sensitivity training. It is good, it is beautiful, because there are body-oriented people. They need a different type of religion. They need a religion which allows their body to function in a religious way. For these people, Tantra can be very helpful. For these people, prayer and meditation will not be helpful. But there must be a way from the body also towards God. Has to be, because God has come to the body. The body must have a way to reach to the God. These are the three types of religions. You have to find out what type you belong to. And this is not very difficult. If you watch for 3 weeks continuously, in different ways, you can have a feel. If you are body-oriented, don't be discouraged. There are ways you can reach towards God through the body, because the body also belongs to God. You can reach through it. If you feel you are heart-oriented, then prayer. If you feel you are intellect-oriented, then meditation. But my meditations are different in a way. I have tried to devise methods which can be used by all the three types. Much of the body is used in them. Much of the heart and much of intelligence. All the three are joined together and they work on different people in a different way. If a body-oriented person comes to me, he immediately loves them. But he loves the active parts. And he comes to see me that wonderful, active parts are wonderful. But when I have to stand silently, then there is nothing. He feels very healthy through them. He feels more rooted in the body. If a heart-oriented person comes to me, the cathartic part becomes more important for him. The heart is released, relieved of burdens, and it starts functioning in a new way. And when a third type, the type who belongs to intelligence, comes, he loves the last parts when he is just sitting or standing silently, when it becomes meditation. Body, heart, mind, all meditations move in the same way. They start from the body, They move to the heart, they reach to the mind, and then they go beyond. Through body you can relate to existence. You can go to the sea and enjoy swimming in it. But just become the body. There is no feeling, no thinking. Just being of the body. Lie down on the sands and let the body feel the sands, the coolness, the texture. Run. Just now I was reading a very beautiful book, Zen of Running. That is for body-oriented people. One man has discovered by running that there is no need to meditate. Just by running, meditation happens. He must be absolutely body-oriented. Nobody has ever thought that by running, meditation is possible. But I know. I used to love running myself. It happens. If you go on running, if you run fast, thinking stops, because thinking cannot possibly continue when you are running very fast. For thinking, an easy chair is needed. That's why we call thinkers easy chair philosophers. They sit and relax in a chair, the body completely relaxed, then the whole energy moves into the mind. If you are running, then the whole energy moves into the body, then there is no possibility for the mind to think. And when you run fast, you breathe deep, you exhale deep, you become just the body. A moment comes when you are the body, nothing else. In that moment you become one with the universe, because there is no division. The air running past you and your body become one. A deep rhythm happens. That is why games have always been so much attractive to people. Athletics. And that's why children love so much dancing, running, jumping. They are bodies. The mind has yet not developed. If you feel you are the body type, then running can be very beautiful for you. A 4 or 5 mile run every day and make it a meditation. It will transform you completely. But if you feel you are a heart-oriented person, then prayer will be needed. Talk to birds. Try to have a communion. Watch. Just wait, sit silently with a deep prayer that they should come to you, and they will start coming by and by. By and by they will be sitting on your shoulders. Accept them. Talk to trees, to rocks, but let it be a hard talk, emotional. Cry and weep and laugh. Tears can be more prayerful than words. And laughter can be more prayerful than words, because they come deep down from the heart. No need to verbalize, just feel. Embrace the tree and feel as if you are becoming one with it. And soon you will feel that the sap is not running only in the tree. It has started to run in you. And your heart is not beating only in you. Deep down in the tree there is a response. one has to do to feel it. But if you feel that you are a third type, then meditation is for you. Running won't help. Then you will have to sit like Buddha, silently, just sitting, doing nothing. Sitting so deeply that even thinking looks like a doing, and you drop it. Few days, the thoughts will continue. But if you go on sitting, just watching them, without any judgment for or against, they stop visiting you. They stop by and by. Gaps come, intervals happen. In those intervals, you will have the glimpses of your being. Those glimpses can be had from the body, they can be had from the heart, they can be had from the head. All the possibilities are there, because your being is in all the three and yet beyond the three. It is same distance from all the three points, and it is the fourth point. That's why in the East we call it Turiya, the fourth. You can approach it from anywhere. So when somebody comes to me and says, I don't believe in God, I said, don't worry. Do you believe in your body? That will do. Because the body belongs to God. And I cannot see that there is any possibility of a fourth type. There is not. Religion becomes universal, available to everybody. Wherever you are, the door is open, and no door is closed. In the past, the tendency has been that if Buddha thinks that by meditation, no thought state of mind one reaches, then he will deny the possibility of heart. The possibility of the body has always been denied. I don't deny anything. I look at you, wherever you are related to God. Some possibility is there. Some door opens exactly where you stand. Nobody can be out of the possibility. Everybody can start working on himself. No belief is needed. As you are accepted. That's why it becomes a little difficult for people to understand me, because I go on accepting. I have no condemnation and no rejection, because I see that God accepts you, then who I am to reject you? He goes on breathing in you. He goes on living in you. You may be an alcoholic or a drug taker, and he has not left you yet. So who I am to tell you that you are not accepted? You may be a thief. You may be immoral. But as I see it, God has become thief in you. That's all. With the thief and the God, there must be a bridge. Otherwise, how you can exist? And you have been existing beautifully. So there must be a way. It has to be found. That's all. Nobody is rejected, and for everybody there is every possibility to grow. You have to find out your type, and if you cannot find out your type, that too is not to be made in a worry. Then you can do a synthetic technique of meditation in which body, heart and mind all are involved. But start feeling, being. Start on the way. Just don't go on listening. Because that can become an addiction. You can enjoy it and forget about it. Then words which would have become transformation will only become a little information. The third question, you have said that we should surrender to you. Is this a device to keep us from pushing the river? Could we surrender to a rock, a tree, or a flower and get the same result? Or is there something different in surrendering to an enlightened one? There is none. Surrender is the key, not to whom you surrender. That is irrelevant. Surrender to a rock. Of course, it will be difficult. If you cannot surrender to a Buddha, it will be very difficult to surrender to a rock. So don't try to deceive you, that's all. If you can surrender to a rock, absolutely perfect. Because wherever you surrender, suddenly by your surrender you discover the Buddha there. The rock becomes a Buddha. That's how rocks have been worshipped for centuries. Stone images have been worshipped for centuries. In Mecca, they have worshipped a rock. No other rock has been kissed so much. Millions and millions of people with deep love have touched the Kaaba, the rock in Mecca. That is one of the greatest temples on earth. No temple can compete. But that rock is a rock only to you, not to a Mohammedan. To a Mohammedan, in that rock is represented all that is divine. When you surrender to something, that something becomes a Buddha. But it will be difficult to surrender to a rock. In a way, it will seem easy to surrender. Because the rock is just a rock. You can play with it. Whenever you want, you can surrender, and whenever you don't want, you can throw it out. Or your ego may not be hurt by surrendering to a rock. Because rock is just dead. You can do whatsoever you like to do with the rock. If you surrender to an enlightened being, it is going to be very difficult. Because what is happening? One of the greatest and the most impossible things is happening. The ego is surrendering to a non-ego. Very difficult. The ego can even surrender to another ego. It is not very difficult because they belong to the same plane and to the same dimension and their arithmetic is the same. But to surrender to a non-ego, very difficult. But as far as I am concerned, surrender is the key. Surrender wherever you can. And if you surrender, in that surrendering your ego disappears. And that is the point. It is only a device. When I say to you to surrender to me, it is not a question of surrendering to me. In fact, there is nobody who can be really pointed and said, me. When I tell you to surrender to me, I am simply telling you to surrender. Do it wherever you can. And the same will be the result. Because the result is not related with the object. The result is related with your surrendering. The quality of surrender changes you. Fifth question, do you enjoy the birds during the discourse? Do the birds enjoy you? Of course, I enjoy them. And they also enjoy me, but not the discourse. Because they are not so foolish. To enjoy a discourse, human stupidity is needed. They enjoy me, I enjoy them. But discourse is irrelevant to them. Just a noise. And that too not very musical. They know better. They do better. Only human beings are addicted with words. If I become silent, the words won't leave me, you will leave me. In fact, if I become silent and you leave me, more words will be coming. Because of you, the place is so crowded. The fifth question, I used to come out of the morning discourses feeling inspired and invigorated. Now I am usually drained. I want to be alone and I go home and sleep for a couple of hours. Why is this? You must have been using discourses as drugs. Otherwise, why you should feel inspired and invigorated? You must have used them as props, drugs, activizers. I'm not trying to inspire you here. Because all inspiration, if it is really inspiration, should come from your innermost core. How it can come from the outside? How can you say that you are inspired by somebody? The whole thing looks contradictory. Inspiration cannot come from outside. Otherwise, it won't be inspiration. Inspiration has to bubble in your being. If it comes from the outside, then it is a drug. Then it is not happening to you. But as it happens to all drugs, soon you will get addicted to it. Then it won't affect you. Then more doses will be needed. And then the same drug that used to inspire you in the beginning and give energy to you will prove a drainage on your energy. Don't use my talks as drugs. There is no need to get inspired. All that is needed is to become more alert. Listening to me, you should become more and more alert. aware. If you don't become alert and aware, then in the beginning, for a few days, everything will be beautiful, the honeymoon period. And then you know it. Then by and by, you start feeling drained. You go to look at a picture, at a movie. Next day, see the same movie. The third day, and you will be drained. The first day, you were so inspired, and you had felt so good, with so full of energy. Next day, you know it is the same. The third day, now it has become a boredom. Whatsoever I say, the words differ. I go on saying the same thing every day. If you are not becoming alert, soon you will be drained of your energy. My energy is the same. Use it as a jumping board. Don't use it as an intoxicant. Use me to become yourself. Don't become dependent on me. Otherwise, this will happen. This has always been happening to Buddha, to Mahavir, to Lao Tzu. This has always been a problem. When people come in the beginning, their desire is burning, their ambition is high. They think now something is going to happen. Then they listen, and then they become greedy. But then they feel by and by that nothing is happening. They go on listening and nothing is happening. They go on listening and accumulating information and nothing is happening. Then they become dull. Then the honeymoon period is over. Now, the dull marriage life settles. The same wife, the same husband, the same master, the same disciple. Things settle. But remember, when things settle, only then real things start. Honeymoon is not a true picture of the relationship. Too exaggerated. Don't believe in it. Let few weeks pass. And then if there is love, real relationship will start with the humdrum life, with ordinary things, and with the same person every day. If love is there, then intimacy will grow. If love is not there, excitement gone, honeymoon over, marriage finished. In fact, even the honeymoon is not over and people start thinking of divorcing. They may not divorce, that's another thing, but deep inside, when the newness is lost, excitement is gone, you start feel now what is there. Real love is known only after the honeymoon. When you come to me, in the beginning, you are enchanted with the new, inspired, excited, something is going to happen. And when you remain there a long period, every day listening to me, and things settle, then only real disciplehood starts. Then there is no excitement, and then only intimacy grows. But that intimacy will grow only if you become aware. Between me and you, awareness has to flow. Otherwise, soon, you will start feeling sleepy, drained. you will start leaving, going to somebody else, to another guru, to some other ashram. And there again the same cycle will start. You will be excited in the beginning, then dull. I know many of you have been to many other gurus before. I am not the first. There are people who have been at least to 10 gurus. They have roamed all over the world. They have been with Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. They have been with Prabhupada. They have been with Gurdjieff groups. They have been in Erika with Oscar. They have been in many encounter groups, the growth groups, EST, and thousands of things. They have tried everything. Now they have come to me. You can repeat the same cycle again. You can move in a vicious circle. Now when you have come to me, drop out of the old pattern. Otherwise you can go on, and for many lives you must have been going on this way. Drop it. Excitement is not the thing. Intimacy. Honeymoon is useless. The real thing is to settle. Grow in awareness. I am not trying to inspire you, because all inspiration is foolish. People who try to inspire others are trying to force them towards some ideals. I am not trying to force you towards any ideal. I am not trying to make you into something else that you are not. So what is the question of inspiration? And I am not going to sacrifice you to anything. I am not going to make you martyrs. I am not a politician. You are the goal to me. You have to discover yourself, that's all. You are not to be something else. You have just to become more alert. So if you are related with me by excitement, this relationship is not going to be very long. Sooner or later, you will drop out of it. I used to come out of the morning discourses feeling inspired and invigorated. Now I am usually drained. It is good that now you are drained. You were doing something wrong. I am not a drug. You were using me like a drug. Now don't use me like a drug. And soon you will see that the feeling of being drained has disappeared. Use me as a jumping board towards a higher and higher awareness. I am not saying something to you, I am being something to you. Don't listen to my words. They are just playthings. Listen to me in deep silence, in deep awareness. Be related to me. And let this relationship not be an ordinary master-discipleship relationship, because that you have done many times. This time, let it be really authentic, not of excitement, but of intimacy, of deep love. Soon the feeling of being drained will disappear, and you will not be inspired, you will not feel invigorated, you will feel just yourself, exactly as you are. You should not feel more than the life size, because how one can go on feeling that? Someday one has to come back to the life size. You should feel just like you are. The seventh question, I often fantasize about you. I imagine talking with you, going for a walk, having tea and other situations. It gives me a feeling of closeness to you, and it is comforting. But sometimes I worry, maybe I am just strengthening another dream and should not indulge. Should I view these images as just more ideal dreams, or can they be helpful in feeling my connection to you? No, they cannot be helpful. In fact, they will never allow you to be related to me, because your dream will always be between me and you. Drop all these fantasies. Don't indulge in them. Because imagination can become very dangerous. I come across every day one sannyasin from the Himalayas was here in the ashram. She told me that I have told her in her dreams that she has to stay here and not to go home. I tried to explain her that I have not told anything to her in her dream, but she won't listen to me. Her dreams are more real than me. She won't listen. She said, no, I know that you have told. I am saying to her that I have not told, but I am far away. Her own dream is nearer to her. She was here for 3-4 months. Then one day she came and she said, now you have told to go back home. I said, again, I have not told anything to you. There is no need to go now, be here. But she won't listen. She left. She came again. Now this time she was completely mad. There was no possibility of communication with her. Impossible. Because her own dreams have become so real that I am very far away. She cannot listen to me. And she goes on saying that whatsoever she is doing according to me. So don't allow such fantasies from the very beginning. They are dangerous. If you go for a walk with me, the danger is that when you come to see me, the dream will be also coming with you. And if you have been too much with me in your dream, by and by, that dream will be between me and you, will become a hindrance, an obstacle. It will be impossible to relate. You can go mad. Drop it immediately. Don't indulge in it. That is dangerous. While I am here, there is no need to indulge in such dreams. Why not look at me? But mind is very tricky. Because if you look at me, then you will have to change. But in your dream, whatsoever you want me to tell you, only that I can tell you, not anything else. I am not free in your dream. Remember always that whether the dream is in the night or in the day, in your dream, you are the dreamer, you are the dream. If you dream in your dream that you are moving in a car fast, another car is coming. There are hills and mountains, and there is an accident. Remember, you are the dreamer. You are the man sitting in the car. You are the car. You are the road. You are the hills. You are the other car coming, and you are the accident, because there is nobody else except you. Your whole dream is you. Don't indulge in dreams. Here I am to help you to come out of your sleep. And if you create dreams, you will move deeper in sleep. Because every dream needs sleep. Dream cannot happen without the quality of sleep around you. So the more you live in dreams, the more sleepiness will surround you. It will become your aura. You will be moving on the road with open eyes, but deep down you are completely asleep. Utterly asleep in your dream. That has to be broken. The dream has to be shattered. The quality of sleep has to be changed. You have to become alert and aware. The eighth question, would you tell us about the name you give to us? Does it mean our becoming or our inner nature? Should we be identified with it, or is it just a joke? It is just a joke. Don't get identified with it, because you are the nameless. You have no name. You don't have any identity. I give you a new name so that the old is broken. But remember, the new is also the name, and soon it will become old. So don't get identified with it. Use it as a label. It is needed. It has some utility. But don't become too much identified with it. You are not the name. The name is needed. It has a social function, but no inner reality. Remain nameless. The ninth question, how can I differentiate between the whole moving through me as a part and me moving separately as a part? There will be no difficulty. When the whole moves through you, you will not be there. There will be no need to make any distinction. You will not be there. You will be a vast emptiness. But when you are there, then you are moving as a separate unit. When the whole moves in you, you are not there. If you are there, remember that the whole is not moving in you. You are moving against the whole. You are fighting the whole. Resisting. You can feel yourself only when you are moving up current. If you move with the river, you cannot feel yourself. You will feel the river, but not yourself. And sooner or later, you will become the river. Enough for today.